of mind power. Be sure you keep a pad of paper and a pen handy because you're going to need it. You're going to find that there's some wonderful things going to be sharing with you, and you may have an opportunity to also receive a free book. So we are going to, without delay, go to our wonderful guest this afternoon, Dori Byers, who is a nurse, and we're going to talk about a book that she has written called Natural Beauty Basics, Creating Your Own Cosmetics and Body Care Products. Dori, where are you located?
I live in South Central Indiana.
In Indiana?
Right. Where are you?
Well, I'm in the Pacific Northwest. Don't you just love technology?
I do. I do. How's the Northwest for retirement? My husband and I are starting to, you know, think about
places. It's one of the greatest places in the world to live in. Of course, we're always going to tell you that it rains here all the time, which is exactly what it's doing today.
Well, it's doing that here as well, so don't feel left out or special.
Okay. Well, you know, you've done something that, as a nurse, I would just love to know why, as a nurse, you got so interested in working with natural materials and to produce products that, my goodness, we women, much more than the men, pay literally a fortune for. I mean, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry to try to stay looking good. What in the world, as a nurse, made you decide that this was going to be an arena that not only were you going to explore, but were going to make it something very significant in your life?
Well, I was really on a hiatus from bedside nursing when I did all of this. Our son was little, and I was staying home, and I'm a big gardener, and was growing just all sorts of things. But one of the things I was growing were herbs, and still do, of course. But I also have a farm background. I grew up on a farm, and you're used to making do with what you have kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we were living on one salary, and I had all these herbs, and it's like, well, what can I do with these? And, you know, I knew I could cook with them and do this and that. And then I just got interested in body care. I thought, now that would be really kind of a fun thing to do. So it's just a hobby that got totally out of control.
Out of control?
Absolutely.
You got to tell us why it got out of control.
Oh, because I just went from, like, you know, 5 or 6 herb plants to I had to have one of each of everything. And you know, the beds kept expanding, and I kept telling my family, okay, this is the last one. And everybody would just look at each other and go, right. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of thing. So, anyway, but it's a great hobby, and gardening's wonderful all the way around. And the herbs were great because of their aroma and their usefulness. They're just the ultimate in usefulness. You can do so many things with them.
Well, that's
how it all got started.
Yeah, I'm going to share quickly a story with you. The reason I was so intrigued with this is that over the years, I've encountered so many different people from different cultures
uh-huh.
that have different environments that have found in their own backyards, much like you found,
uh-huh.
those various elements that they could use that were cost-effective and very useful. And
yes.
Alaska is like a second home to me. And there was a woman that I met on one of the trips. She was a native Alaskan, and she was a very mature lady. She was in her 60s, and she had a complexion that many 20-year-olds would just die for. And up in the far north, you have all of this bitter, bitter, bitter cold weather,
sure.
winds. I mean, your skin can look like shoe leather by the time you're 27 if you're not wise.
Uh-huh.
And hers didn't. And she had a formula that had been given to her by another native that lived up there. And she said it's what kept her skin so absolutely, magnificently wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And I never got a sample of it. I wish I had. But I just looked at it, and I went, wow, isn't this something? And here you are with this book. Now, what did you start out with? I mean, you had to be experimenting with things. What did you initially start out with?
Well, since I actually had the herb plants, I started by using infusions of herbs in the bath and even in the shower, you know, kind of as a body splash and using the aroma, because so many of the aromas, you know, make you feel good, make
mm-hmm.
you feel revived or relaxed or, you know, what have you. So that's really where I started. And then I got interested in making, you know, herbal infused oils and then from there I start to experiment with essential oils. So it just sort of, you know, snowballed, and one thing led to another kind of thing. And then I got very curious about different natural ingredients, and I would get them and just experiment and think, okay, now what could I maybe do with this, and so on and so forth. So that's really how it kind of evolved.
Now, you used yourself as the experimental model, didn't you?
Well, I was the number one guinea pig, but I had a lot of friends who were also willing to try things for me.
Uh-huh.
And give me feedback. So,
give you feedback. Now, I do want to let my audience know, the name of your book is Natural Beauty Basics,
correct,
Creating Your Own Cosmetics and Body Care Products. Now, we have two books we're going to be able to give away,
excellent,
today. So I'm going to let my listeners know of a toll-free number that they can call into, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And Don, my engineer, is going to be there, and he'll be able to take your information so you can get a free book. Now, you talk about healthy choices. You give some very interesting points when you have your book, when the opening of your book.
Uh-huh.
You say it's very important to be sensitive to various components that can be used because lots of times people have allergies.
Correct.
And you have a paragraph relating to synthetic fragrances and substances often that can be used in commercial products, and to test them, there is a test that you recommend. Tell us about what you would recommend someone to do if they want to find out if they're sensitive to an herb or if they're sensitive to particular oils or anything like that.
I think probably what you're talking about is the skin patch test.
Yes.
And if anyone's ever been to an allergist for any kind of thing that they think may be related to an allergy to a substance, they'll frequently do a skin patch test on you, and this is kind of a similar thing. And what you would do is usually the inside of your arm's a good place to do it, and take just a small amount of whatever the substance is and put it on the inside of your arm, and then just slap a Band-Aid over it overnight, and the next morning take that Band-Aid off and see, do you have any redness, any irritation? You know, if it was really a severe allergy kind of thing, you might even see, you know, blistering or something, although I think that's a lot less common.
Yeah.
But that would just be one way to see how your skin's going to react to it.
Now, what I liked about your book, it's a how-to book, not just filled with wonderful recipes, I will call them, to really make yourself feel better, look better, and take care of yourself physically. But you also get into the basics. If someone would like to explore making some of these recipes for skin, for working with the hair, with the nails, anything like this. And by the way, you guys can also benefit from this. I've known a number of men that due to the kind of work, maybe they're doing work outdoors, that their skin, it hurts, and some of these recipes in here are good for guys as well as gals. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, this is wonderful, and I've known more than one woman whose husband has been out working. Now, here in the Northwest, we have people that are in forestry, there's linemen, there's all kinds of things, and they'll come home and they'll just be in agony, and so the wives will have their little remedies that they use on the guys, and it means a lot. The fellows enjoy it just as much as the gals do.
Yes, I keep my husband in one of the hand cream recipes.
Oh, you put him in the recipe.
I keep him well supplied because he's an RN as well.
Oh,
and he works outside. Here we have acreage, and you know we do a lot of outdoor things,
mm-hmm.
And he was trying all the commercial things, and he said, you know, none of these are really protecting my hands. So I whipped up one of the recipes for him, and now we have to just kind of keep a steady supply. And he's very good. When he's getting low, he always lets me know, you know, so I can make it. And,
wow.
And so on. So, yeah, I'm, you know.
Well, that just reinforces what I just said.
That's exactly
really neat.
That's why
and
I had to bring it up.
Don't you think sometimes the guys don't want to admit to this? They sort of want to keep it quiet.
You know, I don't know.
But I think it's great. It's really important. They like feeling good, too.
Yeah, they do.
You have essentials here, like you having a flower sifter, glass jars and bottles, funnels, eyedroppers,
sure.
An herb identification book.
Mm-hmm.
And you also say you recommend a reference book for essential oils and aromatherapy. And you've got them there. The aromatherapy and the essential oils, you emphasize that. And that's because it really makes a difference.
It does make a difference. You mean in terms of the use or
sure.
just... Yes, oh, absolutely. You know, and they're concentrated, and you don't need but a little bit to experiment. And there's just so many wonderful things you can do with it, but you really need a good reference book. I really feel strongly about that, because they're kind of a magical substance, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and but they are very strong, and you can react adversely to them if you don't use them properly, so... Just a really good reference book to use as your guide is very helpful.
Now, one of the items that I would, it made sense to me that you put it down as an essential item, but I had to smile when you had the recommendation that when you're getting a grater, you want to get one that's costing you just pennies, like at a garage sale,
right.
Or you don't want one that you're going to use for food preparation, because some of the ingredients that go into these recipes require grating and beeswax.
Right.
Which is one of the elements that you use. You cannot remove it.
You can't remove it to save your life, no.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So what do you do when you use the beeswax? Do you just pitch the grater?
No, I just keep it. I wrap it like in a plastic bag, and I just keep it and use the same one, you know, as
mm-hmm.
time goes along, and I need to grate beeswax or whatever, and I just, you know, keep it.
Now, I wanted to mention that you always suggest buying organic ingredients if you have them available.
Uh-huh.
And you want to avoid anything that has pesticides or herbicides.
Correct.
That might be in it, which makes sense to me, because anything you're going to use on your skin is going to be absorbed into your system.
Correct.
And you also say look for cold-pressed or low-heat processed oils that contain no preservatives and are not extracted with solvents. How would you know they have not been extracted with solvents?
Usually, if they are cold pressed, they would not be. And if they're cold pressed, it will say on the label. And if you go to a really good, reputable natural food store, the people there are always very knowledgeable and very helpful. And they can tell you,
mm-hmm.
you know, the oils that you're purchasing. I've never been in a privately owned natural food store, but what the person who started it had some sort of a health problem that conventional Western medicine or whatever, you know, wasn't really helping him, so they turned alternative things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always very knowledgeable. I've always found that to be true.
There are so many various ingredients that you have here. And as far as the oils go, you always encourage people to store them in the refrigerator.
Right.
Because they contain, and nuts and seeds, too, because they contain oils within themselves that are part of their makeup, and they should be refrigerated or even frozen before you start using them. But you have so many interesting ingredients. You have an ingredient called bentonite, and then there's the cellulose chips. You have aloe vera gel, which has been around for centuries,
uh-huh.
and, of course, your beeswax we mentioned, and you've got all of these wonderful ingredients, D-panthenol, you've got evening primrose oil, you've got grapefruit seed extract, jojoba oil, liquid lecithin, and I'm just skimming through here just with a few of these ingredients,
uh-huh.
and rose water, and then one I was not familiar with. I just had never heard of super silk. What is super silk?
It is actually a liquid substance that I found from one of the companies that I, you know, dealt with. And it's the silk from silkworms. And it's made liquid somehow, and I can't tell you the process on that. But it brings shine and strength to your hair when you add it to hair care products.
My goodness.
Yeah.
That is absolutely awesome.
Isn't
I had no idea that it contained amino acids that did this wonderful,
yeah.
wonderful effect to hair.
Mm-hmm.
That is incredible. Turkey red oil. That was a new one for me also. What is that?
Well, it's a castor oil product, actually. And it has been treated. And what it And again, I'm afraid I'm ignorant on the process of the treatment, but it makes it so that it's it will mix with water. It won't just float on top. And again, this was just another ingredient that I just happened upon and gave it a try. So that's nice if you want to, you know, make a bath oil.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just having it float on top when you're taking your bath.
Dori Byers is my guest today. We're talking about a wonderful book, Natural Beauty Basics. And we've got two books to give away today. And you can create your own cosmetics and body care products. And if any of you fellows are listening, this might be something that would be wonderful for the lady in your life. For you gals that would like to know about how you could make your own natural products without any, you know, any synthetic additives in it. If you're very sensitive to things on a shelf and you're frustrated with not knowing what to do about having some nice products to be able to use, this is Dori's book, Natural Beauty Basics. So you can get a free copy, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And be sure to leave your information as it is requested so we can get this book to you. Talk to us a little bit about essential oils. You say there's about 120 drops in 1/8 of an ounce of any essential oil.
Uh-huh.
That is such a tiny, tiny amount.
It is, but it breaks down, that drop can break down into just like a bathtub full of whatever a given herb is. And I wish I could remember some of my, you know, it's been a while since I wrote the book, and I apologize if I sound ignorant sometimes on some of these things. But, like, for example, rose oil, it can take a dump truck full of rose petals to create just a very minute amount of essential oil. It just depends on the plant. So, you know, one drop of essential oil of rose is really quite a bit of roses.
Well, I know you
it.
Say in here 220 pounds of lavender makes 7 pounds of essential oil. That is just incredible when you think about
that
volume.
Yeah. So if you're using a drop, you're really, you know, you're using a lot of herb there when you think about it.
Now, how should this be stored? I've been to different places where they have essential oils and people talk about them, but when you bring them home, do they have a limited shelf life? What is it that needs to be considered when you want to use them?
You can have the fragrance for a long, long time. The shelf life, many companies now will put an expiration date on the essential oils, and that, to me, means the actual active ingredients of the herb are only good for that amount of time, you know, given the expiration date. But the fragrance of the herb can last indefinitely. I do like to keep them out of direct heat and light because that does degrade them quicker. And I try to keep them in a cool place. You don't have to keep them in the refrigerator, but you don't want to put them in a cabinet over your cooking stove in the kitchen or whatever. And that'll just help to extend their shelf life. And also, again, avoiding the light, you would want to put them in colored bottles. And usually when you buy essential oils, they're in an amber colored bottle. And that, too, helps protect them.
Now, I know, and we want to share a couple of recipes in here. There are so many people that I find myself, especially when a group of women get together, we'll talk about things that haven't worked well for us, and we have something that's irritated our skin, and we're always interested in learning about different ways we can be more aware of our own health and well-being. And this is what you cover in your book, Natural Beauty Basics, Creating Your Own Cosmetics and Body Care Products. You have a section on deodorant, and that was one that intrigued me a great deal, because that is something in our society. We are always very conscientious about smelling good.
Yeah.
But when you are, especially getting close to the summer months, you perspire heavily, and body BO is the last thing that we want to be worried about. Tell me about your deodorant recipes.
The deodorant recipes are tried and true. I tried all of these personally, And as a gardener and living in the Midwest where it gets very hot and humid,
mm-hmm.
you do sweat a lot. And I will tell you that every one of the recipes never failed me except on the absolute hottest days when I was working all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to do reapplication. Now, of course, these are non-antiperspirants.
Mm-hmm.
You'll still sweat. But you will smell good when you do it.
Well, that's a good thing.
And that's a good thing.
Because it really is something that concerns people. And
absolutely.
Perspiration is the body's natural way of keeping itself balanced anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the bad thing, but it's being able to smell good. Now, the one recipe, I'm going to relate it quickly here. You have a lemon thyme deodorant, which is a bacteria-fighting power of tea tree and thyme essential oils, and it combines with a refreshing scent of lemon. Now, you've got a number of recipes in here, so anybody could pick and choose. And
sure.
This is how simple it is. A tablespoon of witch hazel extract, a tablespoon of rubbing alcohol, 2 drops of tea tree essential oil, 2 drops of thyme essential oil, and 1 drop of lemon essential oil. That seems so little. And you say you just store it, you mix it thoroughly, store it in a bottle with a lid or a sprayer, and you just remember to shake it well before you use it, and you can put it on, roll it on, or you can just spray it on.
Correct.
And that would, for summer, that lemony smell would just be great. But you've got lemon lavender in here.
Right.
You've got rosemary, lavender rosemary, peppermint juniper, rosemary thyme. You've just got so many different things in here that are just incredibly good for people to use. And
the other nice thing, if I may say so,
sure.
about all these essential oils is that if you don't like a combination
mm-hmm.
of essential oils to your nose, you can always kind of switch them around, too.
Okay, like some
so
of them.
So they're very versatile. And at the end of that chapter, I do list several deodorizing essential oils. You can kind of mix and match to suit your nose.
Yes. Now you have eye
uh-huh.
soothers. You have lip care in here, a
uh-huh.
lip gloss, and you know if you have teenagers in the family, and you know whether they're the girls, you could always add a little bit of something to it. But even the boys, when
uh-huh.
they're out and they're active, out in the water, you know sometimes they get a little
right.
sunburn and their lips get blistered or things like this. This is also important. You go into mouth and tooth care.
Uh-huh.
You have a cleanser for that. And you have a cinnamon clove mouthwash that just sounds wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And it'll last for 5 to 6 weeks. And that's 3/4 cup of distilled water, 1 tablespoon of pure grain alcohol or good quality vodka. Oh, some people would be very happy with that part. 1 drop of clove essential oil. 1 drop myrrh essential oil, and 1 drop of cinnamon essential oil, and you just mix everything up. Oh, no, excuse me, that's not the correct way. You take the essential oils, add it to the alcohol, mix them first, and then you
correct.
Add the distilled water.
Yes.
And then
you do that because the essential oils don't mix with the water. You have to mix them with the alcohol first.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
It doesn't mix with the water.
They won't
okay.
mix with water.
We were talking earlier, and again, you go into hand cream, you go into to body powder, got bath salts, body scrub. I mean, all of this good stuff. We were talking about your husband at the beginning, and you
correct.
Said how he couldn't find anything commercially, and nurses, and he's a nurse, he has to wash his hands constantly, and that's one of the biggest complaints.
Right.
And you had a waterless hand cleaner in here that I thought was just wonderful.
Yes, and he was my guinea pig for that one, too.
Oh, isn't it wonderful to have hubbies for guinea pigs?
You know, they're good for a lot of things.
Yes, they are.
Yes, and that and I'm really glad I have one.
Oh, absolutely.
So, anyway, yes, but those work very well, and they work very well, you know, in cold weather or hot weather, because they condition the hands as well.
Yes.
And that just makes a lot of difference in your skin.
It sure does. And like I said, I know fellas that have just, they're just in pain, and they need to have some help. Now, here's one of the recipes. You've got more than one.
Mm-hmm.
This one for the waterless hand cleaner is 2 tablespoons of castor oil, 1 tablespoon of Fuller's Earth, 1/4 teaspoon of liquid dish detergent, 1/4 teaspoon of tincture of benzoin,
uh-huh.
and 3 drops of lemon essential oil, and you mix it all together, put it in a low, wide mouth jar, one of those canning jars you can get. It just doesn't cost anything at all. You can go to a
thrift store
and pick up a bunch
of
them.
Yeah, that's a good. Mm-hmm.
And then you just take a teaspoon of the mixture, put it on your dirty hands, and wipe off with a damp, soft towel, a paper towel. That really would be very soothing to the skin.
And portable.
That's true. That's true.
It could be very portable. So if you're out, you know, chopping wood in the woods or whatever, or doing whatever, you know, you've got it right there.
And you've just got so many wonderful things for, again, hair care, just about anything and everything.
And it's a lot of fun to experiment with them.
Oh, yes.
And I do encourage people just to enjoy it and try and make it in small batches. And if you don't like it, you know, you're not out anything. And, you know, try again. Try something else.
My guest today has been Dori Byers, who is a registered nurse, as is her husband. And her passion is natural beauty basics, creating your own cosmetics and beauty care products. We have two books to give away. So if you'd like to get one, call in to 877-876-5227. Dori, enjoy your summer in Indiana there. I'm so delighted to have had you on the show today. Have a fabulous, fabulous, wonderful life. You've got a lot of good things that you're contributing, and it's been a pleasure having you as a guest.
Well, it's just been enjoyable, and my best to everybody in the Pacific Northwest.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
Have a fabulous life. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. A lot of good things to share. Don't you go away now. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I think we've got something that has happened electronically. That's okay. We're just going to move right ahead. I wanted to mention, you know, after talking with Dori and talking about how you can take care of yourself physically and you want to really feel good, you want to look good. Well, a lot of that starts from the inside. It starts from what you put into your body nutritionally. You want to make sure you get rest. But nutrition is something that more and more is coming to the forefront of information. We must nourish our bodies. Good health comes from inside and works its way out. And I know that every day you're very concerned about taking good care of yourself, taking care of your family, and nutritious food is very important to you. Well, because of this, I would like you to know about glyconutrients. Now, what are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, in the foods that we eat, the fruits and vegetables especially, but we don't seem to be getting as much of them in our food anymore. And scientific study is proving that these glyconutrients, these sugars, are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Now, over 20,000 studies are conducted every year on glycoforms alone. And what are they? Well, they're the sugar protein structures that line each and every cell of our body. And 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and finding out how these sugars work in the body. You know, every day I try to bring to you information that's going to empower and light up your life, and I'd like to take it another step. I'd like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. That's DelphiInternational.com. And I'd like for you to go over to the left side of the home page of my website and touch on a button that says glyconutrients and visit the information that's there. MIT's technology review that was put out in February of 2003 states that glycomics is one of 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. And education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. And I'd like to share some of that education with you. So I'd like to encourage you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. Again, touch that button that says glyconutrients on the left side of the screen. And just go in and read the information. There will be other points of reference that you'll be able to explore should you so desire. But I'd like for you to stop by for a visit, because I think you'll find that it may bring a lot of good, not just into your understanding, but you may be able to pass it along to someone else. Donna Sebo here, and telephone lines are now open if you would like to let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. All you need to do is call 877-876-5227. That's our toll-free number. Now, you can call in to chat with me, or you could also call in for a free copy of the book on Beauty Basics, The Natural Way, that we are giving away today. We have two of those. 877-876-5227. And I'll be delighted to chat with you. Or, as I said, you're also welcome to check out the book. Now, I wanted to give you a little bit of history. We all, when we're driving around, are utilizing a product, all of us that are driving, that was established many, many years ago. And in fact, it was established in the 1800s. What am I talking about? I am talking about a tire, the Goodyear tire. Now, 40 years after Charles Goodyear died, which was in 1860, his brother-in-law went on to found and name the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company in his honor. Now, Charles didn't receive very much for his accomplishment for this wonderful innovation, the rubber tire. The gentleman, Charles, he just said, this is something I'm going to do, and just went about going and getting it done. Have you ever known anybody that has that kind of an attitude? By golly, I got an idea, and I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to get it done. And then they prove it, and everybody goes, wow, isn't that amazing? Well, there was a gentleman by the name of Long who considered the inventor of the rubber tire that now bears his name, an innovation that would later have a major impact on the future of the world economy. Charles only made $50,000 off of his invention. Now, he invented the method which manufactured rubber tires, but it was Thomas Hancock who took the glory for the manufacturing of this in Great Britain in 1844. So these have been around for a long time. Now, what happened with Charles is that he made an unfortunate mistake. He revealed his secret invention to Thomas, hoping that the two of them could work together. Instead, what Thomas Hancock did, he was running, at that time, a rubber manufacturing company in Britain. He took Goodyear's idea, filed for a patent, and used it in Europe. So that left Charles Goodyear sort of high and dry, and he eventually sold the American patent to his brother-in-law for $50,000. Now, Charles later wrote in 1850, "The history of invention proves that whoever attempts by inventions to improve the conditions of others usually impairs his own, except so far as he may add to the happiness from the satisfaction of having done good to others." Well, I don't know that I'd agree with that statement 100%, because I think there's a lot of people that have invented things and have ended up reaping a nice profit from it. But the thing to remember is that invention is never going to stop. There's always a way of improving something, and there's always a better way of doing things. And the challenge is that when you come up with an idea, how are you going to be able to, one, do all the testing necessary for it, and two, get it to market? So every generation has its challenges when it comes to innovation. And, of course, lots of times things will be in the marketplace where those people that are well-established will say, gee, I don't want to have a change. I really don't want anything different here. But change is something that's going to sneak in on us one way or the other. So it's always a good idea to never get discouraged if you find that maybe something has not evolved maybe the way that you think, because today's world, change evolves so rapidly and so quickly, it is astonishing. Just think about how we were not perceiving, not that long ago, we just couldn't imagine dealing with computers the way we are today. Well, my goodness, that wasn't that long ago. It was just a few years ago. And we've got so many people walking around with iPods. We have all kinds of new technology that is evolving. Some of it, when I hear about it, I'm just wondering, how in the world can we keep up with all of this stuff? But it is a wonderful thing in one respect, because it causes us to stay alert, stay aware. On the other hand, it gives us a lot of challenge, because the learning curve for being able to adapt and to bring certain things into our environment is a heck of a lot less than it was many, many years ago. But innovation, hey, I don't think it's ever going to go away. In fact, I know it's not going to go away. And you should never be discouraged about trying to make this world a better place, because it is very important that we remember we do that. Whatever way works for us is a good way. Now, here we are in the beginning. Oh, we're so close to summer. And it's just a delight. Here in the Pacific Northwest, where I'm broadcasting from, it is absolutely pouring. It looks like fall outside, but of course our plants are just absolutely loving all the water. That's what keeps the Northwest so green. But when it comes to this time of the year, don't you get that itch to fix things, to do things when the sun's shining. You want to be outside. You want to really be out there and involved. Yes, that's exactly what you want to do. And so I've got a fabulous story about a gal named Paige Hemmes. Now, she is the gal that is on Extreme Makeover, and she is known for her pink tool belt. Well, if you think Paige knew all that she knows today a few years back, you would be 100% wrong. She had to learn the hard way how to work with things, how to work with tools, how to plan, how to be able to take something that was literally a mess and improve it so it becomes absolutely fabulous. Now, how did it begin with her? It began with a house. And it began about 5 years ago. She decided she was going to invest in some real estate. So, like so many people, she said, I'm going to go out, I'm going to get a house, I'm going to get a fixer-upper. Piece of cake, no problem. Well, when she ended up really looking at the house after she had bought this nice little fixer-upper, she found it was not only going to have to be fixed up, but it was going to require a lot of fixing up. And she didn't have the money to hire a carpenter or a painter or a plumber. And she said, I had one option, and that was I had to do the work. Well, she said, I want you to know, if I can do it, you can do it. She said, I'm definitely not as strong as a guy. She's a petite gal, small in build. And she said, I'm just not very coordinated either. Well, that may make one uneasy just hearing that statement from someone who's as well-known and as popular as she is. She said, I know I'm not very coordinated because one time I worked as a model and I tripped on my dress and I fell off the catwalk. But she said, what I started to do was ask questions and read a lot of books and figured out what I could do to get this house fixed up so that I could sell it. And she said, here are some of the few basic principles that she followed. She said, not only are they good for restoring a room or a whole house, but she said they're good for changing things in your life that need to be changed. So you can revitalize yourself in more than one way, whether it's with a hammer or just an attitude. She said, when you're starting a project, keep it simple. Break it down into manageable chunks. She said the first thing she figured she could do was to paint. That was going to improve the entire environment of this house substantially. She said, one trip to the hardware store, and she said he was overwhelmed by all the different brands of paint, and she said she met her knight in shining armor, yes, in that hardware store. Who would have thought? She said, really, the reality was he was a retired gentleman working in the paint department part-time, and he listened to her story, and he asked her questions about the house that she was in and what kind of wall surface there was that was there, so on and so forth, and he told her everything she needed. So she said, I walked out with everything I needed, didn't spend more than I had to, and he said, come on back and we'll talk some more if you need any other tips. And that's exactly what she did. She said, try colors. If you don't like them, remember, you can always get another one. So she said, before you know it, you have to paint the whole house. And she said, that's going to make it look good right away, but it's a first step. And she said, lots of challenges in life begin with a first step. And the other lesson she likes to pass along is learn as you go. She said one of the walls in the house that she had purchased looked like somebody had used it for a punching bag, and she said nothing she could do. There wasn't spackle in the world that were going to fix those holes, so she had to use drywall, and a friend helped her with that. He said, let me show you what to do, and he did it, and she said, well, what if I make a mistake? He said, get out the sandpaper, sand it down, start over. And she said, that's one thing you need to know. You're going to make mistakes in life. Go ahead, read the directions, do whatever you need to do, but don't be afraid to try. You're going to be able to fix it. And the old adage, measure twice and cut once, she said that's an old carpenter's expression, but it really makes sense. But remember, also, if you're going to be fixing up whatever is in your environment around you, whether it's personal or it is going to be a house, whatever, make lists on whatever you're going to want to tackle, because you want to be sure that you have everything in place so that you don't make too many trips. You just really want to put your stuff together. Use your tools. Tools are there to leverage your strength. And she said, I know I'm not as strong as a guy, but with my power drill, I can go head-to-head with a guy twice my size. She said, tools of what what our made me a carpenter. She said, this is really great. She said, well, the first time I ever tried a table saw, I swore, I thought, I just knew I was going to be sucked in by a thing and chopped to pieces. But she's learned how to use it, now uses it all the time. She said, sometimes you can use tools that are found in simple everyday objects. What did she do with one situation, hammering nails? She didn't want to smash her thumb. She used a comb. She put the teeth of the comb around the nail, held that in place, whap, whap, she had it right there, moved the comb, smashed the rest of the nail in, and it was just fine. And she said, you know what, don't be afraid to ask for help when you need it. And that is a big lesson on so many levels of life. She said, you know, in our quest to be self-sufficient, we also need to learn how to turn to others. And she said that was a wonderful thing about fixing up her house, or even if you wanted to fix up your life in one way, doing it yourself doesn't mean doing it alone. So just get started. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break, and when we come back, I've got more good things to share, and, well, we'll just have to stay tuned so to find out what it is. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to take a break. Don't you go away now. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I wanted to say again, if you wanted to give a call to chat with me this afternoon, 877-876-5227 is the telephone number to call into, and also we had the free book giveaway on the Natural Beauty Basics. So if you would like to get a free copy of that, then give us a buzz as well, and we'll be happy to get that information out to you. Oil, gas, gee, the topic is on everybody's lips. And American recyclers are dealing with taking the metal from 15 million cars that are junked each year. I don't know about you, but 15 million automobiles, that is an incredible amount of metal to deal with. And up to 4.5 million tons of residual debris goes straight into landfills. Now, known as an auto shredder residue, it is a virtually unrecyclable mix of at least 36 kinds of plastic, along with treated fabrics, rubber, and nylon. And when we think of cars being put into junkyards, there's all of that that is there to be utilized. Well, last May, not this past May, but I would say the May of 2005, representatives of USCAR, USCAR, a research consortium made up of Daimler, Chrysler, Ford, and General Motors, along with Argo National Laboratory and the American Plastics Council, they arranged a test in which Changing World Technologies ran 3,000 pounds of this stuff, of all of this material, 3,000 pounds, through its Philadelphia pilot plant. They were amazed. They said the process is brilliant. There are substances of concern in shredder residue, such as PCBs and traditional incineration of chlorinated plastics that can make dioxin. However, in doing their preliminary tests, the results indicate that the hydrolysis at the heart of the thermal conversion process breaks down the PCBs and converts the chlorine into hydrochloric acids. No PCBs, no dioxins, and no emissions. And what they got from using this was a principal output of the process, a light oil that could be used at an electric power generation plant. And it looks good. They're keeping up the research on this. But there are companies throughout the world that are really trying to address the issues of recycling. And when you come from a positioning that everything is energy, and your energy has particular forms and expressions, when we can come into the thinking of working with that energy and restructuring that energy so it becomes something that's useful, so it's not something that's going to be contaminating or poisoning the environment, it really is quite a possibility, a probability, and that's when good minds working together can make a big difference. So just know that we have a lot of good people that are out there trying to figure out what we can do to make this world a better place. And the more we can learn about them, then the more we can be supportive of it. And there's so many ways. If you hear of something and you say, Donna, I'd like you to be aware of this company, or I'd like you to be aware of this business or this person that's done this, please let me know. There are so many wonderful, wonderful groups that are working very, very diligently trying to bring up, and I'll use the word innovation again, that is going to make our world a better place. And this is always going to be an ongoing process. So much of what we're experiencing today, in a negative sense, evolved because of the ignorance of earlier times. And it is a process. Lots of things our grandchildren are going to talk to us about, and they're going to say to us, my goodness, how come you were so dumb? Didn't you realize that this could cause this and this could cause that? Well, perhaps at the time when we're evolving into that understanding, that's not easy to see, but it does take paying attention. So if you have something you'd like to share with me, send it to my email address, donna@delphiinternational.com. I'm always interested in stories, if you have recipes, if there's anything in the way of special information that you'd like to share, please send it along. I'm always interested in what you have to say. I know we've only got a few minutes left, and I wanted to tell you a love story. Oh, I know. It may be a little early in the day, you might think, for it, but I think stories that touch the heart are very special, and they're good at any time. And this is by Larkin Huey. He's out of Alabama. And this is his personal experience. He said, back during the Vietnam War, when I was stationed in Thailand, I met a beautiful Thai woman named Surapun. We fell in love, and we got married soon afterwards. When my wife learned, after a trip to the doctor, that she couldn't have children, we both prayed that somehow things would change and we'd eventually be able to have a family of our own. My tour ended in Vietnam, and I went back to the United States to my assignment in Nevada, and I started the huge amount of immigration paperwork that was necessary for Surapun to join me back in the States. A short time later, I received a letter from her. She found, to her joy, she was pregnant. And the doctor, he had been wrong about what he had told us, and we were just thrilled. And I couldn't wait until she joined me in the United States. I really pushed hard to get the paperwork to her for her signature. Everything was sent off to her. However, a long time went by, and I didn't get any response. Letters I sent to her went unanswered, and I was getting frantic. Then a letter came from her mother telling me that Surapun had died. And I was devastated. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have money for airfare back to Thailand to pay my respects. I hadn't known my in-laws very well, and soon I fell out of touch. I vowed someday I would return to Thailand, and of course, you know, he had a big hole in his heart with this kind of an experience. Eventually, he moved on with his life. He remarried, had two wonderful children, and he earned a master's in psychology and eventually became a writer. And it was nearly 30 years before he was able to get back to Thailand. And when he got back to Thailand 30 years after being married to this wonderful woman who had passed away, he went through a lot of official records. He was able to find his wife's grave, and he went to visit her grave, and he was standing there by it all alone and just in a deep state of meditation, and a young Thai woman walked up. And she put her hands together in the Y position, the Thai gesture of respect. And he turned to her and he asked her, did you know Surapun? Her response was, no, I did not know her, but I'm the reason she's dead. And it weighs heavily on my mind. I have no family. They all died. And when I feel lonely, I come here. So he asked her, why do you come here? And the young lady said, she died while giving birth to me. I've spent my life searching for my father, but he is an American, and I think he doesn't want to be found. Now, after 30 years, after such a long time, there I stood with my daughter, Surikit, an answer to my 30-year-old prayer. I thought that would be a nice way to end this program today. Love is a full circle. It goes round and touches everything and everyone and gives you gifts sometimes you never, ever expect.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.